Well, hello everybody and welcome. Welcome to the Words, Women and Wisdom radio show, streaming live on BBS Radio from California and also popping up on the new Podopolo social platform for podcasting. And I am excited today. I will do a formal introduction in just a moment, but I'm excited today to be joined by a good friend of mine, Clarissa Burt. Hello, Clarissa.
Good morning to you and everyone. Hey there, Yvonne.
Good morning. So we had the pleasure of being introduced through a colleague of mine, Maureen Pisani. Maureen is someone I actually had interviewed on the show a little while ago, talking about her amazing gifts and the work that she does. And she introduced me to Clarissa, and it was right away we had
Love at
this
first sight.
bond, almost like love at first sight. Yes. And because we're both up to incredible things in the world. And I was delighted when Clarissa said that yes, she would join me on the show and share a little bit more about her story. Now, if we haven't met before, if you're listening to this or watching for the first time, a little bit of backstory. This show is about showcasing amazing women. Typically, it's women who have risen from tragedy to triumph and are now out there doing amazing things in the world. And it's your opportunity, if you're a female, a woman listening today, and there's something happening in your world where you're really wondering what is going on, is it possible to come out of this? Trust me, it is. And the stories I showcase are of women who have done just that. I'm drawing on my background working in Canada for the last 30 years, supporting women in particular in the last 10 years from an HR background originally. So hiring and interviewing lots of people over my career, like about 6,000, and then moving into executive coaching in the last 10 years and mentoring. So I'm now working primarily with women entrepreneurs who have a passion for making their business a social enterprise and those who are ready to step it up. And that's the work that I'm doing is on the radio show podcast, my best-selling book, and the radio interviews to really put the spotlight on those women who are so deserving. So today it is Clarissa's turn to be, as she calls it, in the limelight. So
I do. And I
Clarissa
can
is
prove it right here.
in the Limelight TV in particular, yes. So Clarissa is the founder and CEO of In the Limelight Media, which is her multimedia platform comprised of video podcast, a quarterly digital magazine. She's showcasing entrepreneurs globally for the purposes of changing brand, of creating brand awareness, sharing insights, and exchanging ideas. I love that. So it's a great information from remarkable people all around the world, interviewing public figures, influencers, entrepreneurs, thought leaders, millionaires, and moguls that show their know-how and help you with their thought leadership, their know-how, tipping points, pivotal moments, and life lessons. And I was honored to be part of that guest list just
Yes,
recently.
absolutely.
So yeah,
I
this is like a love nest.
know. I'll be on yours if you can be on
Exactly, yes. So In the Limelight Media promises to educate, empower, and entertain with conversations with super guests. So there's a lot more, but I want to get to that and weave it in through the story because Clarissa, at the age of 18, signed with Wilhelmina Modeling Agency in Manhattan. And it's the first time I've had a supermodel on my show. So
Wow.
I'm glad that you could join me. I want to
Right.
hear the full story and I want to hear it in your words. How does one get to be from an ordinary teenager to being a supermodel for starters, and then let's get talking later about what it is that you're up to today.
Well, gosh, I wish I could. I wish I knew. All I know is that I was very tall, thin, and very gawky as a young girl. But growing up, I loved the movies that had Rita Hayworth and Ava Gardner and how they would sing and dance across the stage and just be gloriously gorgeous. And, I was very captured by all of that as a child. So My first foray into being on stage was as though I was Mary Poppins in the kindergarten play. We have two black and white Polaroids to prove the point somewhere. and that was kind of, you know, I think that's where I got hooked when I heard the first applause after I sang Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Yes. And without a, you know, a flub up. And I think that's where I caught the bug. It took some time later because I was asked then to be, you know, in many more plays, but my parents wouldn't allow it as they really needed me at home. We were latchkey kids and I was the oldest. So I needed to be home with the children while they were out working with their children, my brother and sister while they were out working. So I didn't really get into modeling until I decided after high school that I was from New Jersey. I was going to move into New York City and I was working as a secretary there. And I wanted it so badly because I remember also as a child, the only thing I had in the way of internet was the Sears catalog. You know, in the early 60s, that's what you used to get. It was a Sears catalog and it would come out twice a year. It was winter, fall, winter and spring, summer. And so you had those two opportunities every year to see the models and their makeup and what they were wearing and how they were posing. And I just thought I'd died and gone to heaven every time that damn catalog showed up. And so that's kind of where it really started. I really started to understand. And then I would want to put makeup on as a young girl. And I'm talking, you know, as I didn't want to play with Barbies. I wanted to play in my mother's makeup. And unfortunately, she didn't have much of it because she didn't use a lot of makeup. So I was, you know, it was a little problem there. But anyway, we worked it all out in the end. And I went in New York City to work as a secretary and people were sort of saying the same thing that I had been thinking for years. You know, I really wanted to be a model, but I could never be. I'd never be good enough. I'm certainly not pretty enough. There's no way I could ever, but gosh, if I just could, that kind of thing. I was very low in self-esteem. I mean, just absolutely had none at all. You know, there was a very strict Irish Catholic upbringing in my home and my father was very difficult. And my mother wasn't easy either because they both went to, you know, the Irish Catholic schools for 12 years. Anyway, I went into the city and it kind of happened. People were saying, you know, you really should be a model. You should try to be a model. And I would say, oh gosh, thank you very much. And blush. And then I really put it into action. I went and got some pictures taken and I went to the agencies in New York. And I was taken by Wilhelmina and Elite. Ford said no, but I decided to go with Wilhelmina and the rest is history. Within 6 months time, I was over in Paris and that was 1981. And I started working there and then I came back. That was the moment I think you're looking for. I came back because I went to Paris and I wasn't ready. I went to Paris and I was homesick. I went to Paris and I just wasn't ready. I wanted it badly, but I didn't know how to do it, I think, right in my own mind. So I came home. And I came back to New York City and I went back to being a temporary secretary. And the universe would want it, Yvonne, that I wound up working at corporate on the 50th floor of Revlon Cosmetics.
Okay.
So here I am sitting at the desk as a temporary secretary. You know, Paris is in the way, you know, rear view finder at this point. And I'm sitting there. And I'm looking at all of these posters along the walls of all of these beautiful supermodels and models that are wearing the makeup. And I went, what did I just do? Because I knew at that point I'm looking and I went, well, I think my pictures look kind of like that. And I think I kind of look like her too. So it sort of hit home that, you know, sometimes first time isn't always going to work. You have to be persistent and tenacious and you have to go back. Cover your tracks, but go back, you know, more prepared than you were the first time. And that's what I did. So I went back and this time I went back to Italy. I was in Milan and I had thinned out a little bit and I was older. So I was ready to kind of, you know, leave home and be okay with it. And everything just clicked then. So I think that was really an overcoming moment for me was, you know, the desperation, I think, and even the desolation that I felt when I was sitting in New York City going, now what am I going to do? I had my shot and I blew it. I was in Paris and I had an agency. I had a New York agency, a Paris agency, and I blew it. Now, what am I going to do? Well, you know, prepare better and go back and try again. Quite that simple. And it worked. The second time it worked rather nicely.
Well, it's probably not the very first time that they've had a similar situation. I mean, working with, you know, teenage girls that are not necessarily used to getting a lot of attention. I mean, that can really, I would imagine, I don't know, because that wasn't my upbringing. I had a stint as a ballerina when I was about 5, but I think I was just, too clumsy. Dance, structured right. dance has never really been my thing. Right. But, watching what can happen, the opportunity for that insight sitting in Revlon, for the light bulb to come on. I mean, yeah. I thought you were going to say, and someone came up to me.
Now I wish, but no. Now I wish, but no, that didn't happen. But yeah, the light bulb, as you say, did go off. And it wasn't a happy moment for me, because it was a moment of, wow, you really messed this up. You've really done yourself in now, good on you. And I got really down on myself. My default is I did everything wrong. I just wasn't ready. That's all. It's yeah. quite simple. You're not always ready for every opportunity that's going to come along and in the moment. Yeah. Right. But you might be in 6 months' time or a year's time. And that's what I did. So within the year, and I had no money to go back to Europe. So I made enough money working as a temp secretary to buy my round trip ticket again to go to Italy. And that's all I had. And I had $500 in cash. And almost the second I got to Italy, the $500 in cash was stolen. So all I had was my return ticket home. So there's a second moment. And mm-hmm. I remember calling my mother, Colette, from Italy and saying, Mom, I don't have any, like, I'm here and I have this opportunity with this agency, but my $500 has been stolen. And I don't know how I'm going to eat. And of course, they were putting us up in model homes. So we were fine with that. But, she says, honey, if you want to come home, the house is here. And that's when I had to put on my big girl britches. And I said, no, I'm going to stay. I'm going to stay. And then I'm glad I did, because I started working a lot. But there was no internet then, there were no cell phones. So you're walking all over the city with your portfolio under arm with a map. I can't tell you how many times I got turned around. And you're running all over the city with the metro underground. So it was really, and I mean, I lost a bunch of weight because I didn't know when I was going to the supermarkets. If the can didn't have a picture of what was in the can, I didn't know what it was, So I was glad when I went down the cookie aisle, they had pictures of the cookies on the boxes so I could pick up the chocolate chip cookies with ease. But, a lot of other things, I didn't know the language yet. So it was the learning curve, and I'd do it all over again. It was a blast.
Yeah. So did you go back to Wilhelmina, or did you pick up with another agency?
I never really went back to New York. I just stayed in Italy for, I'm going to say 28 years, mm-hmm. So there was a year, I was actually in Paris a year, believe it or not, before I decided it wasn't working. And so I stayed in Italy for 28 years, and it worked just fine, because from the modeling, I went into some acting, and from there I went into, television, and from there I went into my own production company. So I used to produce, the 3-hour live broadcast in prime time. The Miss Universe pageant, for example, was one of my projects. It's one step in front of the other, but just never give up. It's not always going to work the first time. If we're giving out entrepreneurial lessons or even life lessons, that's definitely, I think, one everyone can relate to.
Absolutely. So you moved to Milan, you quickly became appearing on hundreds of magazine covers, Harper's, Bazaar, Vogue, Cosmopolitan, known as one of the top 30 runway girls in the world in the 80s. And gracing some of the most important designer catwalks, Milan, Rome, Paris, New York, and Japan. And then you did get called by some of the global cosmetic houses, such as Revlon, Dior, and Carita, Helene.
I did.
And was chosen for the face of Olay Cosmetics for 10 years.
Yeah, that was fun too. Yeah, it went full circle from this little gawky girl from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, who just never thought that she, the little train that could, but never thought they were able. And it just somehow just kind of fell into place for me. Mm-hmm. And so it was, there were a lot of really, really great times, but then there were the times where, you're halfway around the world. Sometimes you're in countries where you don't speak the language. You've got to, you're a pretty girl, so you have to be careful with that aspect, because you can certainly get yourself into trouble quickly if you make a wrong turn, or walk into the wrong bar, whatever it is, you might be faced with. It was definitely, you know, I don't think that anything in the world could have rounded me out anymore. You know, for example, I don't think that I would have ever had, you know, the art appreciation and learned as much about art, for example, had I sat in a university class and learned about it. You know, when you're walking around Europe, it's just right there and it's in your face and you're learning about it minute by minute. Yeah. You know, that kind of thing. It's certainly the language. You know, when you're fully immersed, it's very easy to pick it up. It's easier to pick it up. Yeah. Italian was a bit of a challenge for me. And then they start, you know, in the beginning, and then you start putting the pieces of the puzzle together, and then you're speaking a language. But I don't think I would have progressed as quickly as I did had I been sitting in a college classroom somewhere. So I'm thrilled to have. There's just nobody, I think, luckier than me, for sure. Mm. I mean, I was so blessed, so truly blessed. And then, you know, again, I know that you may not want me to jump forward, but I took all of my 50s off, you know, from 47 to 60. You know, I didn't know what I was going to do next, because the business that I'm in, everybody does. You know, everybody's got a cell phone and they're all producing and they all got podcasts. Everybody's got a YouTube. And my day, you know, when you were on TV, you were it. I mean, that was the thing. Now everybody was doing it. So I had to figure it out very quickly. As I turned 60 years old, I needed to understand where there was a niche, where there was a pain point, and how I could, you know, interject something that really made sense, that was a guaranteed ROI for solopreneurs and entrepreneurs. And I think that within the Limelight Media, that's what I've built.
Mm-hmm. Well, I shifted up my branding. It was Flourish, which is a great program name still for one of my programs, entrepreneur programs, teaching women to flourish in business. And when my book launched, so this is November 2018 now, and launched overnight, overnight success bestseller list on Amazon, I thought about, you know, what is it that I love to do? And I love writing. I love doing these interviews, you know, certainly having events, all of those things. And it seemed to make more sense to regroup under Women and Wisdom Media. Now, I'm not doing media in the same way that you're doing it, with this beautiful glossy magazine in the Limelight, and looking at doing the TV station piece. Not yet, anyways. However, it's the media for getting the message out to help women understand that, you know, even if you're going through something crappy, there is light at the end of the tunnel. It's the universe's way of saying either not yet, or maybe a different direction, a different approach. So, you know, you talked about your period of time off. I took 3 months off when I rebranded, and that was enough for me to sort of pivot and say, I think I want to go in this direction and do it a little bit
different. I think that, you know, people say 10 years, gosh, what were you doing? Well, I was moving back from Italy, where I was very well known, to the United States, to Cave Creek, Arizona, hello, where my neighbors didn't know who I was. Well, they still kind of don't, but even, you know, look, this is not about being known or being famous. This is about, I completely changed countries and had to start all over again in my 50s, with, you know, business networking groups and, you know, a business card one-on-one. And people say, well, what do you do? Well, I was in such an interim phase that I couldn't tell them what I did, because it would have sounded so much like bragging, but I didn't know what exactly I was going to do. So I couldn't tell them, you know, what I was building. Yep. So I spent a lot of money and time on the road, going to many different, you know, networking events and meeting and greeting and learn. I didn't know what a funnel was, you know, 10 years ago. I used funnels in the kitchen. That's the funnel I knew.
Yeah.
I had no idea that there was a mark. I didn't know. There was so much in the way of trying. You know, the first time I heard golden nugget, oh, that's a great little golden nugget. And I'm like, what the hell is a golden nugget? I had no idea what people were talking about. So I had to be brought up to snuff with, you know, a different way of doing things, with networking, which I had never done, with marketing, you know, myself, which I had never done, with business cards, with, you know, with all the things that you need in order to sound credible in some way, shape, or form, when you're going to these events. And I went to many of them.
Yeah. Well, whether it's, you know, someone who is a woman coming from a corporate arena, who has had a job and a salary and that regularity and hasn't had to step out into more risk, or whether it is somebody who is just starting out. I mean, there are certain things that, you know, I was lucky enough to work in 8 high growth startups. So along the way, I saw, you know, what are some of the things that you got to do first? What are the things you got to do next? And those are the components that helped build out my Flourish program, so that you visualize first, then you monetize, and then you optimize. Otherwise, you're just automating a big mess.
Right, right, right. Or it's a hobby.
And if we're super clear on what it is that our gifts are, talents, skills, interests, passions, where all those things come together, right, that sweet spot in the middle, if we can develop our business around that and have the social enterprise element, it right. makes such a huge difference to how you show up. So when you left Italy, I'm curious, what was it that triggered saying, yeah, it's time to leave?
It's time to go, because I think that, you know, I had done everything that I could possibly do. There are more difficulties in working there. A lot of bureaucratic, a lot of red tape, a lot of, even politically, it was a little bit different. You know, now the United States has become more that way too, but it was really, you know, rather we one side or the other. Politically things were a little bit different. Economically things were up and down. Politically also, it was a very unstable country. You know, I love Italy. They gave me so much. And I'm also an Italian citizen. So I do want to always say I'm madly in love with my second patria, as they call it. Yeah. But I don't, you know, it was, you know, when the universe just says you've done everything you can do, you're done here. You're done here, time to move on. And it's not going to be easy, but you know in your heart of hearts, it's time to go. And this, because I couldn't really grow, there was no more growth there for me. Mm-hmm. And the second thing is that here, my grandmother was in her later years. My sister was having her four beautiful children. So she had a baby every 2 years, and I was missing out on all of that. And we all lived very close by. So yeah. I came home because I wanted to be with Grandma Clarissa she'd say, you know, so funny to me, when are you going to come home and plop it? She'd say to me, when are you going to just come home and plop it and stop traveling and flitting all over the world? And, you know, it was her way of saying, I really want to spend more time with you. And she and I were soulmates. So it was time to come home to, you know, home to my grandmother, home to my sisters, my best friend with her, you know, four children or babies. I'd like to think I was one of the best aunts on the planet. And so it was just time. Mm-hmm. And I did that for a while, and then it was time to get back up. And then I went to do Survivor, and I won Survivor. I think I told you that.
We haven't talked about it on this show.
In 2010, I went to do Survivor, the show Survivor, and I won and came back. And then I was at that point, I was already 53, and I thought to myself, what am I going to do now? What am I going to do? You know, it's time to move on. And I still waited and tried to figure it out. And that's when I started all the networking events. But I really, at 60, I was 60 when I said, okay, In the Limelight. So In the Limelight now has been a year and a half new, because I'll be 62 in April. So it's a year and a half that it started. And a year and a half ago, it was, I wonder what my logo should look like. Well, that's kind of what it looks like. And I built it. And I think COVID kind of helped with that, Yvonne, because it really kept me at home, laser focused, 14 hours a day, 8 days a week, sometimes more hours a day and sometimes more days a week. But it's built now into a real, I think, something that's really of great value.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't want to gloss over, you know, directing the Miss Universe pageant. That's a pretty big deal. So yeah. That was something you did for how many years?
I know. I'd get up and show it to you if you didn't see my flannels. Hold on. You see my flannels? Hold on. I'm kidding. But here, that's she was my second, I think, my second Miss Universe.
Lovely.
So yeah, what was the question?
Well, I was curious, you know, that's a fairly big deal to be directing that. Yeah. How many years did you direct?
I did that for 5 years. I took the license and did it 5 years and grew it to where it wasn't known at all, to its first year being on live television. Yeah. So the 5 years that we were there, we were on live television and 3-hour live broadcasts. My last broadcast was with 2,000 people sitting in water in front of a castle in Calabria. And I had an anaphylactic shock because I had eaten, I mean, this is all live, but I was behind the stage and I had an anaphylactic shock due to gluten that I didn't know at the time I shouldn't be eating. Ergo, that's why I then wrote the gluten-free gastronomy cookbook, the Italian gluten-free gastronomy cookbook, right. Let me not forget. And so that was, you know, my last five-year mandate. And that's when I said, okay, it's time, you know, we're getting close. That was 2005, 2005, I think, was the last one. 2004 was the last one. And 2005 is when I came home to the States.
Yeah. Interesting. So you've also got the magazine got started. So tell me about how that evolved.
Yeah, the magazine. Well, I have, you know, we have In the Limelight here. It's with Orazio Pagani. We're dropping again in 2 weeks' time on March 1st. We have Lady Carnarvon on the cover, and you should know. Downton Abbey and Highclere Castle. I know you know. So the magazine was, I very tongue in cheek, but not so much anymore. I used to say Oprah, Martha, Clarissa, right? So I was, you know, Oprah and Martha Stewart. And then, oh, let's throw Clarissa in there too, because I wanted a multimedia platform. And they have multimedia platforms. Oprah took it a step further with events. And I'm going to now start taking it a step further with events, with the Ultimate Media Mastery event. But I've just always loved the medium. I just love, microphone is my life. And I don't know if that's much to everyone else's chagrin, but I love talking. And, they, you know, when I was a kid, they used to tell me I was vaccinated with a phonograph needle. So, so there you go with that. And, so I wanted that. It's also, you know, a lot of people do have, you know, they're doing the video and the podcast, but they don't have that third piece, which I call the sexy piece. And it's the piece that, you know, it sort of rounds it up very nicely. And people like, I think, really like being, oh, and I was in that magazine. And, you know, I was in the magazine with a Lamborghini on the cover. And I was in the magazine with, you know, a Pagani on the cover. So I'm trying to keep this as, again, I'm not a luxury brand, but we are upscale here. I'd like to think so. And everything I do, I'd like to think is classy and sassy, baby. That's why I did it, because I wanted to have the multimedia piece. And then of course, within the Limelight, we do take it a couple of steps further by, you know, when you work with me, you get my social, you get my newsletter, you get news releases and or press releases, depending. So there's seven different touches that you get with a 20-minute interview here, which is really where I wanted to take In the Limelight. And it's guaranteed return on investment.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've certainly got the breadth in your background to be pulling all of these things together. If we look at your website, clarissaburt.com, you've got...
That's always a work in progress. I wouldn't be sending too many people.
It always is. It's published as out
of we've got a bunch of changes to be, especially after my business meeting this weekend. I know I've got a lot of changes to make there. Plus I have the mastermind, as you well know. So
exactly. Yeah. So it's, you know, it's a platform that has multifaceted attention, attention grabbing ways to pull all of this information together. Certainly when it comes to the magazine, you've had some phenomenal guests. I loved the interview that was featured with Iris Arpel. Yeah. I mean, you know, she calls herself the accidental icon. I mean, she became a model at what, 82 or 80. Something?
She became famous when she was 80. She's 90. I think she just turned 98 this year.
Yeah.
She lost her husband recently, but she really, now she's on Home Shopping Network with her, you know, her products, and her show, her fashion event, her, what would you call it? It's not a fashion show. It's a show about fashion and her fashions, right. That she's collected over the years is now itinerant throughout the world, or it was until pre-COVID, and I'm sure they'll pick it back up. But you can go to a museum and just stand and stare at all of the clothing, and it's bright, and she's famous for bright. Yeah. And so it's beautiful. It's beautiful exposition.
Yeah. Well, some of those interviews I think are fascinating to really put the spotlight on who's doing what, how it came about. So just thinking about the modeling career just for a minute and how that all leads up into what you're doing today. What would be maybe three or four things if you were guiding young women, which I know you do, to have a flourishing career? What would you say are some of the most important lessons that you learned along the way?
Career in modeling or career in general?
In general.
Yeah, in general. And it's basically the same thing, but modeling, I'd add a couple probably about other things. First of all, is tenacity. And tenacity, 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 tenacity. And that means, you know, that means hard work. And so, you know, nobody's, you know, very, there are going to be very few occasions people are going to give you anything. You know, you're going to have to really work and work hard for it. And I know that that doesn't necessarily translate apparently well to the younger generations. I may probably shouldn't even say that, but that's the word out on the street. And, you know, it really is, it's probably one of the greatest things also is the sense of accomplishment and satisfaction that you get by working hard and reaching a goal, and realizing a dream. Is, you know, it's not a dream if you're not working for it. You know, if it's a dream and somebody gave it to you, it kind of doesn't have the same value, you know, number one. The second one is don't compare yourself to anyone else ever, never, ever. You know, I think that, you know, a good, strong, hearty, happy, healthy sense of self-esteem is really, really important. My book will be out in a year, but I've been, and I didn't know that, you know, February is National Self-Esteem Month here. So I'm glad that we'll be dropping our book next February. But self-esteem is really such an important, it plays such an important role because it's the way you're going to be relating to yourself and to others throughout your day, throughout your lifetime. And you need to be able to, here's the other one I think is really, really important. And that is create good, strong boundaries. And people are going to call you all kinds of different things. And that's okay. You know, when I was a kid, you know, they used to say to me, I don't want to play with you. You're too bossy. Nobody ever said to me, it's really great playing with you because you're a fabulous leader. Nobody ever said that when I was five. And so, you know, it sticks with you a little bit and there's nothing wrong with being a good, strong, you know, there are people who are born to lead and people who are born to follow and that's okay. Wherever you fall is just fine. Mm-hmm. And that again is happy, healthy self-esteem. You may not want to be a leader. You may not want to, may not be, you know, intrinsic in you. That's fine. That's okay. But your boundaries are something, it's the way that you teach people how to treat you. And the way that you allow them to do so is the way they're going to treat you. And, you know, if you set up a boundary and somebody doesn't want to respect that boundary, I'm going to ask you to second guess that relationship in your life. I'm not saying they don't have to be there at all. I'm saying maybe they need to be, you know, maybe a little bit farther away, you know, and not quite in your inner circle. Mm-hmm. The other thing is if it hurts, this is one I'll tell you all day long, all day long, every day. And that is if it hurts, it isn't love. And I am very proud to be an ambassador for domesticshelters.org. I put them, they're here in Phoenix as corporate. They have 3,000 shelters all over the United States and some in Canada. They're growing as we speak. So there's always a way out of a toxic situation or relationship should you need to pick up a phone, call an 800 number, get someone on the phone that will listen, that will talk, that will help. I'm very passionate about the position of women, position and condition of women and children when it comes to domestic violence. Mm-hmm. So don't stay. Don't ever stay. And it doesn't even have to be, it doesn't even have to be physical violence. It could be verbal violence. It could be any kind of, if it doesn't make you feel good, it just isn't, it's just not meant to be in your life. Our lives are meant to be lived in joy. And that's where you need to be living it all the time. Difficult times, yes. Hurdles and speed bumps, yes. But the bumps shouldn't be on your body.
Yeah, absolutely. So how did you select that passion? Okay.
My childhood taught me some great lessons there. And so from what I was able to learn at home, it's paramount to who I am today. And it doesn't mean that I'm angry or bitter or, you know, I think the universe or let's call it our higher selves, whatever it is, before we're born, we decide. And so where we're going and who's going to be bringing us up. And the reason we are the way we are today, you know, we're good, strong, happy, healthy, alpha women that are heart, you know, we beat from our hearts and we love helping others is because we know what it feels like on the other side of that fence. And unless we learned that lesson, we wouldn't be able to be here to help others. So I'm not upset about it. And I'm not here to beat up on anybody because of what they did or how they treated people. Mm-hmm. But I will say, if you are, you know, living in that kind of anger that you feel it's okay to lift your hand to someone else, you probably should be seeking some help.
Yeah,
and absolutely. Seeking some help if you are on the other side of that, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I didn't see my dad hitting my mom, but he was certainly very, verbally abusive, you know, coming back from the war with PTSD, getting a bullet in Dunkirk, grazing him. And he was just, you know, as a kid, I just experienced a very, very angry, very rigid and structured man. Right. I now know with the recent work I've been doing around personality science, I now know he was a very much a blueprint. Right. And I was very much on the adventurous side.
Plus back in those days, Yvonne, it wasn't manly to get help. You didn't even talk about things like that. You know, PTSD didn't exist as a term. It used to be called shell shock. Mm-hmm. They came back shell shocked. Yeah. And so it just wasn't the thing to do. So
there were so many thousands, hundreds of thousands of men coming back. It just wasn't the resources to.
It's happening every day. I mean, there are our military here, and I don't know about there, but our military here, they're offing themselves every day with suicide. Yeah. You know, there's one apparently every 16 seconds. Yeah. So 16 seconds or 16 minutes. I'm not quite sure about that, but it's every 16. It's still too many. I don't care. I mean, every 16 days, every 16 months would be far too much. So, yeah. Far too many. So, yeah. And what they're saying there is, you know, if you see something, reach out. You know, if you're seeing, you know, somebody's come back from, you know, live action, and you're seeing that, reach out, do something, help them out.
Yeah. Well, there are all kinds of things that cause people to get to that point. I mean, in Canada, we have about 4,000 a year, and that is, you know, even one is too many.
Absolutely.
Suicides for whatever reason.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's also part of the reason that I do the work that I do too, supporting women in particular, is because I literally watch my dad drain the energy, the dignity right out of my mom. And I swore that I was never going to be that woman. So with the book sales, yeah, for every book, book that's purchased, one goes to a women's shelter foundation,
awesome.
Not for profit, you know, in stacks of 10, right? Not one at a time. and it comes back full circle. You just never know what's going to happen. So you have done some amazing things. You've been recognized as well with a certificate of global honor by University of Pune, India, Women of Excellence Award by Women's Economic Forum, honorary member of the Order of Sons and Daughters of Italy, board member for One Word Filter. There's a lot of things that you're doing, as well as being instrumental as an ambassador to the US for Walking Africa campaign, mm-hmm. That awarded African women the Nobel Peace Prize in
2011. Uh-huh.
Yeah. Love all those extra things that you're doing. So you talked briefly about the book. Let's just give that a little bit of a shout out. What's the book about?
Well, The Self-Esteem Regime is a book that I've been wanting to write for a long time, because I was able to see I worked with some of the most beautiful women on the planet, and they weren't treating themselves well. I saw them not, you know, be treated well by others, and I thought, my God, or they just didn't think that they were good enough, or they just didn't think that you know, I saw so many issues with them, and that, you know, just screamed low self-esteem. Some of them were, you know, doing drugs, and other ones, it was just not all of them, by the way, that, you know, some of the people do drugs in every industry. So this is not about modeling. This is about what I saw when I modeled. And it was eye-opening. You know, my mother, for example, never wanted her picture taken. Oh, I don't want my, oh, don't take me. She didn't think, she always thought that she was, you know, overweight and chubby, and she wasn't, she was beautiful. And my grandmother perforated her esophagus swallowing diet pills, and was in the hospital for 6 weeks because she didn't think that, you know, she thought that she needed to lose weight and didn't look. And they were beautiful, beautiful. I mean, I show you pictures. They are gorgeous women, and they just were unhappy with themselves. And so I think it just prompted me to want to scream from the rooftops in any way possible. You know, you're fabulous just the way you are. And if there's something about yourself that you don't like, there are many things that you can do to change that. And here's some of the things that I would like for you to know. And so we wrote the book, you know, The Self-Esteem Regime. And when I say we, I availed myself of a ghostwriter, because I just don't have the time to write. But we'd get together on Zoom every week, and I would do my download, tell them exactly what I wanted, and it would be written. And then I'd change some things, but whatever. There are exercises, there are case studies, there are affirmations, I really hope that this becomes a workbook. That's why I would really like for this to go. Because for me, The Self-Esteem Regime is more than a book. It's really a mission and a movement. Maureen Pisani, we spoke of before, had me download a picture, because what my dream is, the next dream is to be speaking to stadiums full of women and talking to them about, you know, talking to them and walking them through, again, my passion and what should be their passion about the position and condition of women globally. There are far too many women that are being abused, and children as well. And if we, as the most lucky of I think women here in, you mean Canada, here in the United States, can really start, you know, coming together with our sense of very strong self-esteem and value. And I think the younger generations are doing a better, some of them are doing a good job with that. I saw the Me Too movement, which is something I wish that I had thought of, quite frankly, but they did. And that was great. So with the Me Too movement, our book is kind of coming a little bit later than Me Too, but I think that on the wake, if you will, of Me Too, it was just time to start talking about it again. And especially after COVID, when women lost their jobs and they had to be home, you know, they were at home with their children, but everything sort of shifted for them. There might be a few extra pounds now, or there might be a sense of, well, who am I really now? I'm not here to say, I'm just here to propose that there is a great way for you to be living in healthy self-esteem. We have 12 different chapters, and they all are rewords, and they all start at the beginning and kind of end at the end, and there is no end. You know, you're constantly working on it. It's a work in progress all the time. But there are a lot of really great, there's a lot of great information from, again, from boundaries to, you know, your financials to reaffirming to your responsibility to, I mean, we go through the whole gamut, and I think it's going to be great. Each chapter will live as its own hashtag. And again, it's a mission, it's a movement. And I'm going to do everything in my power to make sure that everyone I talk to, anyway, guys included, you know, they say something that I'll say, no, you don't talk like that around me. Mm-hmm. Let's switch that up. Let's use a proper wording. Let's take that from the negative to how can you turn that into a positive? So that's, I feel a little evangelistic at this point, but it's kind of the way I feel when I talk about, I just want you to be the best you could be and see how fabulous you truly are.
Well, you've got the background to be able to really speak to that, because that's what you've been doing for so many years, is not really bringing your best self to the lens.
Times I brought women in to live with me so that they could get back on their feet. There was one situation where there was a call girl in Las Vegas who came to me in tears, and we turned her around. She came to live with me for 4 years and is living a phenomenal life now. Phenomenal life. There was another secretary that I had in Rome, whose boyfriend was abusing her. And she came to live with me for a year. she and my assistant, I gave him the car. I said, go get your stuff and pack it up while he's at work and come back. And that's what she did. And she's happy and doing really well now. So, you know, sometimes you don't have to try to save the world. Sometimes you can just save one, and that's okay.
Yeah.
Or, you know, just do the best you can and be vigilant. Just be really vigilant. So people are there, and they do need help.
Yeah. So that sounds like a really interesting book. It's coming out next February. So in terms of nuggets, if there was three things from the book, maybe in terms of, like, if you are a woman with low self-esteem, where do you even start?
Just don't compare yourself to anybody else. Number one. The easiest thing to do is to compare yourself to everybody else. And, you know, it's always, the grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. And I can promise you that it's not. The second thing is that as you're growing in happy, healthy self-esteem and setting up those boundaries we talked about before, people are going to fall by the wayside.
Right.
And that's going to feel icky and yucky and not always happy. But you know in your heart of hearts, it's for your better good. It's for your greater good. It doesn't mean you don't have to have anything to do with them anymore. Yeah. You may not be wanting to give them the same amount of importance as you're giving them now. You might have to shift them a little bit.
Yeah.
The third one is, oh God, I mean, there's so many of them, you know, boundaries.
I know, that's why
it's a really hard one. The third one is, so don't compare, be careful with your boundaries, and you're definitely going to want to, there's another thing that we do with mirror therapy, which I absolutely adore. And that is to, don't wait for permission and don't wait for everybody else to tell you how fabulous you are. You can be telling yourself every day with the affirmations that you create as you look at yourself in the mirror. Now that sounds funny and it sounds a little weird and it might even be strange and whatever else, but the mirror really truly, whereas you up until now may have wanted to have made it your enemy, is truly your best friend, depending on what you're telling it, you know, so it bounces right back. And when you're looking at your own eyes, you can go, you go deeper into your own soul, which is really extraordinary. Yeah. So that's another thing that's given away as one of the exercises that's in the book. I know that Louise Hay was, I think, the first that came out with something, you know, very similar. In fact, her book is right there in my bathroom. So I follow along with her book. Yep. And then Jack Canfield used it in his teachings. But I think, you know, unless you know of those two people and you've been either, you know, you've bought their books or been in their sessions, you probably don't know about it. So I want other people to really get really, really clear with themselves in their own mirror, with their own words, and let, you know, to really convince yourself that you are an extraordinary being.
Yeah.
You just, it doesn't take long. You know, you can change anything. And they say 21 days. I mean, I think if you're standing there for even, you know, 10 minutes and you just say, I love you. I really love you. I really think you're awesome. I think you're great. You have such a kind heart. And wasn't that cool the way, you know, what you said today on Yvonne's show? I really hope that that hits home with everybody. And, you know, you just really like give yourself your own little pep talk, and it's not going to be easy. Sometimes for some people, it's not going to be easy at all in the beginning. Yep. You know, it's going to be like, it's going to feel really weird. But I'll tell you something. Sometimes I'll come away from that mirror going, damn, yeah, you know, nobody ever tells me that. Nobody ever said that to me. Thank you, me, for telling me that.
Well, it doesn't sound weird to me, partly because I took some of Jack Canfield's coaching a number of years ago. Big fan of Louise Hay's work, and reference a lot of those bodily activities that show up. And why they show up, you know, what are some of the causes, root causes. And I do have written across my bathroom mirror, I have messaging on my mirror. And my husband thought I was nuts when I started doing it, you know, very deliberately. But I tell you, it works. It does, you know, when that's the very first thing that you see every morning is a positive I am statement on your bathroom mirror. Sets you up for success.
We take a deeper dive into self-care. We take a deeper dive into life, into essential oils. We take a deep, I mean, it's just, there's all kinds of great, it's really it's a rah-rah session for women. And I really can't wait until the book comes out so that all the women that are reading the book can connect to one another.
Yeah.
Which is really where I'm really hoping that for the best. And then it's going to, you know, it'll be going out to Italy as well, which is great. And I hope that it gets picked up by a lot of different countries. Women in different countries need to be reading something like this.
So that's next year. So we are looking at, you know,
in the future,
right? This week, we have a seminar coming up, session, 2-day event. So 2-day event, Clarissa is going to be one of the speakers, and it's called Confidence Plus Credibility Equals Cash. Woohoo!
Just change the background.
Part of the reason for putting that session on as a virtual event is to reinforce, as Clarissa says, that when you have those resources, when you have the funding, you certainly can show up with more choices. And that's part of the essence of being confident. The other thing is looking and saying, yeah, it's not perfect, but can I make it work? Can I still go forwards? What can I learn from this? What's the universe trying to tell me with this? So you're speaking on media mastery as an influence expert, an award-winning actress, an international media personality, producer, writer, author, public speaker, and supermodel. influence, how to get it, keep it, leverage it, effective persuasiveness, influence by association, and how to build a network of followers.
Yep.
So that's going to be a great session.
It is going to be fun. It's going to be great. I can't wait for it.
I was going to say, how often do we get the opportunity for someone with your background to actually be, we're doing a session called Perfect Your Pitch at the end of each day. How often do you get feedback from an expert who is going to probably change your life just by giving you one or two tips on something you can do a little bit differently. So we're going to have Clarissa and four of my other really good friends and experts with their own particular expertise, looking at elevating confidence, ways to do that, million-dollar branding, confident conversations, body language to show up online on camera, and networking, super queen of networking, and also creative marketing. So it's going to be a really fun 2 days. So you want to make
sure. To that. That's going to be awesome. I can't wait. I know. It's going to be great.
So that's coming up Friday and Saturday this week, February 18th and 19th. The details for that are on my website, wordswomenandwisdom.com. And if you'd like to follow along with Clarissa as well, excuse me, you can find more about Clarissa at Clarissa Burt, B-U-R-T, ClarissaBurt.com. And where else do you want people to keep in touch with you?
You know, they can find me at Clarissa Burt pretty much straight across all social except Snapchat. So Clarissa Burt, Instagram, you know, Facebook. We've got LinkedIn, Twitter, pretty much everywhere. Yeah.
Okay. Consistency. All right. And then as far as something to leave our listeners with, is there something you wanted to leave them with today? Any kind of?
Yeah, I coined this phrase, and I don't know if it, I love it. I just think it's really great. And it sort of harkens back to the days when I was, working as a model and again, surrounded by so many beauties. But even there, I guess there were some gals that were just awesome, just lovely. And then there were some that were a little less. So I coined this quote. I just think it's really cool. Anyway, I think it's cool because I made it up. Oh, and it goes something like this. You're only as beautiful as your last good deed. So go do something good for somebody today. Yay.
Love it. Love it. Because that is what that's what the world is needing more of right now. More compassion, compassionate conversations, more kindness. It doesn't take any energy. It takes less muscles in your face to frown than it
does. Sometimes it's just a smile, right? Exactly. Or it's holding a door open for someone, or it's holding the elevator door for someone. I mean, kindness is shown in so many teeny weeny weeny little ways, and quite frankly, it's just good manners. And so many of us just think that's not a thing anymore. But I'll tell you, good manners goes a real, real long way.
Good manners goes a long way. Excellent. Well, we've had some really interesting conversation today. We're just coming up to our last couple of minutes here. So the Limelight Media, Limelight in the Limelight magazine, you can find out more about that on clarissaburt.com. Beautiful, high-end, glossy, interesting articles. You want to make sure that you are grabbing that copy of that magazine. Wait for more info about her self-esteem regime coming out next year. And certainly there's going to be a variety of different ways that we can keep up with what Clarissa is doing. But you got to move fast. So I hope that those tips today that she shared have been valuable for you. Certainly when it comes to the work that I do, I've always found that words matter so much. That's why I wrote my best-selling book on it. 40 different words and word concepts to help women elevate their confidence. Sometimes it's a subtle shift, something like should, which has that tone of obligation and energy of, I don't really want to do this, to could, an energy of lightness and possibility. And those are the kinds of shifts that are so easy to make once you have the wisdom on how to do it. So that's my role, is sharing wisdom, words, women, and wisdom. The Modern Art of Confident Conversations is one method, and these beautiful interviews is another method. So thank you for joining me today, Clarissa.
Thank you,
it's been a pleasure
so much.
Having you on the show and learning from your wisdom. I'm catching you up right behind you in terms of years of wisdom collation. And I think that there is so much that we still can do to help other women with the lessons and the learnings that we've already accumulated. So thank you for joining.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Onward.
All right. I will see you on Friday.
Thanks so much.
All right.
Bye.
Take care. Bye for now. Bye.
Ladies, a new book is on the horizon. Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. This new book is for women ready to rediscover their inner confidence, take a stand for themselves in life and business by using more powerful language. Words are so powerful and have already changed history. On October 5th, the New York Times published a story detailing decades of allegations of sexual harassment against film producer Harvey Weinstein. And numerous women in the entertainment industry found the courage to go public, banding together with a powerful voice that change is long overdue. Even Oprah Winfrey, television network icon, gave a rousing speech at the Golden Globe Awards in January. The media has showcased the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. The Me Too movement is flourishing and all signaling it's time for women's equality and change. I believe it's time to give women the verbal agility to create more confident conversations. Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations, is the book which provides practical approaches for women to ask for what we really want and receive our request.
Hello, I'm Yvonne Silver, certified executive coach and senior HR professional, seasoned in business. I teach women to flourish in business by using more confident language to help empower and engage others. This book is the result of over 35 years of my career, professional career, working in four different countries. I've interviewed over 6,000 people in my career for job interviews, executive coaching, for sales and consulting conversations. And I've listened to hundreds of women in particular who are looking for a better way to collaborate. They're looking to be asking for what they really want and heard and validated, especially in business. And women often earn less than men for doing exactly the same job. It's 2018. It's time for change.
The Modern Art of Confident Conversations explores words we use at home, at work, words that trip us up, elevate us and encourage us, and when no words are even required. It is about how to leverage the power of words in a positive, in a collaborative and impactful way. Now I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders who are empowering other women and leading through mentorship programs and my coaching, public speaking, interviews, and writing. I'm passionate about women's equality. Why? I grew up in England in a house with a flow of negative comments from my father, which destroyed my mum's dignity until she became an empty shell of the vibrant woman she'd once been, belittled by constant criticism and questioning of her abilities. Through my own life journey and supporting hundreds of female clients, I've discovered critical words to ask to get what we really want collaboratively. I know there are critical links between our language, our behavior, our mindset, and our success in life. Words from a song can replay in our head for hours, and poetry can bring a lump in our throats. I've combined my insights with interviews from influential women, sharing their pearls of wisdom, supplemented with research and reference studies from established scholars. Women are rising up. It's time for women to be heard. Let's use more powerful, positive language and join the rising tide of change. This book is for you, a woman looking to the future, ready to embrace significant positive changes in your life by using more confident language. Eliminate those words that drain your power, add words that energize and invigorate, and shift from ordinary to extraordinary. Just one word can change your life. I believe every woman needs their own copy of this powerful book. It's time for action and time for change. Order and reserve your own copy of Words, Women, and Wisdom today.